In 1995, I lost my only brother to suicide. My only brother. I'm the oldest of three children, and he was the middle child. I didn't know how to handle that. In fact, when I lost my brother, my sister and I didn't get any help for that. No grief counseling, nothing. Why? Because no one wanted to talk about it. No one wanted to talk about that he had a mental illness. No one wanted to talk about the things that were bothering him. No one wanted to even admit that he actually took his life. So in 1995, I did the best that I could and balled up all that grief, that pain, that hurt, the disappointment, and I stuffed it down inside. I didn't realize later I needed to address that, because then I had to deal with my own mental illness that I didn't even know that existed for me, because once again, that wasn't talked about. That's not something we discuss in our family. And most of people that look like me in our community, mental illness is not something we're going to want to talk about. So I dealt with that for many years. So fast forward to 2012, bottling up all that anger and frustration and grief and never getting help for the fact that my only brother took his life at the age of 14. So I'm dealing with this. Then finally, at this time, I'm married with two kids, and I'm still dealing with all these different mental health issues that I didn't even know that I had. I just knew that something was wrong, but I didn't have a name for it. So in 2012, I get hospitalized for the first time because I wanted to take my life because I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't understand why I was going through so many emotions. Why one day I'm so angry, I'm kicking a hole in the wall, and the next day I'm so excited, I'm ready to party, I'm ready to hit the club, I'm ready to look fly, okay? I couldn't understand why I'm going through this. So I ended up in a hospital. This time my husband at the time got tired of dealing with my foolishness, and he wanted out. So once again, I ended up in this hospital. And while I'm in this hospital trying to figure out for the first time what's going on, why am I feeling this? Why am I angry one day, happy the next, sad the next, want to cry the next, want to take my life the next? What is going on? So finally, I get a diagnosis. I have bipolar type 2. And I'm excited. I'm excited because I finally got a name for this thing that's just driving me out of my mind. This thing that cannot allow me to be just consistent with my mood. I finally got a name. So I'm excited and I'm happy and I'm sitting here because it's 2 weeks in the hospital and I finally got a name and I'm reading up on bipolar type 2 and I'm minding my business and I'm getting better and I'm happy. And as I'm sitting there reading about bipolar type 2 in this hospital that's supposed to be known for helping people with mental illness, a nurse comes, sits next to me and says, "You don't have bipolar. We don't do this. We don't get mental illness. We don't get depressed. You're strong. You're a strong black woman. We don't get sick. You're going to be okay. Get it together." So what did I do? What did I do? "You're right. I'm too strong for this. See, I survived sexual assault. I survived abuse. I survived rejection over and over again. And I survived rejection over and over again. And I survived rejection over again. I graduated with a 3.882. You telling me that I am bipolar? No, you're right. I'm not. So I did the next best thing. I did what I had to do to get out because I'm not depressed. This is not what I do. This is not what my ancestors represent. We nurse from our breasts the very men that will grow up to enslave our children. And you telling me I have bipolar? No, I'm too strong for this. I do not have bipolar." So I go through the motions and get out of the hospital. And then I get out the hospital and I'm fine. I don't go through the treatment because I'm not bipolar. I'm too strong for this. Do you see this? So I go through my first year after hospitalization feeling okay, not realizing because I'm not keeping up with my treatment, I'm now going into hypomania. So in 2013, I am a married woman with two kids. I'm in grad school. I'm on the superintendent's teacher advisory council was chosen by the superintendent of this particular school system. And not only that, did I say I was in grad school? Yes, I'm in grad school. And I'm managing two mentoring programs, one for girls, one for boys, and I'm active in my sorority. You can't tell me I'm not bad. You can't tell me I'm not bad. So, no, I don't have bipolar, but I'm not realizing I'm going hypomanic. And so one day they asked me to take over this particular class because three teachers in January decided, by January, three teachers decided they couldn't do it anymore. So they asked me to take over this class. So I go in and I take over this class. And this particular day, I don't know if you ever work with seventh graders, which are 12-year-olds. So anyway, this one young lady, you know, wanted to, you know, push my button that day. And I responded. Then she responded. Then I responded again. And then she keeps responding. And then eventually he goes. Then we go to lunch, we come back from lunch, and then she said something that triggered me. And before I knew it, we're going back and forth. We're going back and forth over and over and over again. And I'm yelling, I'm screaming, I'm fussing, I'm yelling, I'm screaming, honey, you don't know who you're talking to. You got the wrong one here. And I'm going on and on and on and on. And before I knew it, it was 15 minutes. And I didn't even know it was 15 minutes of me ranting and raving. You know how I found out, y'all? I found out because a little gentleman on the side with a cell phone decided to record it. And it went viral. And I was on the evening news for 2 or 3 days. And it devastated me. It devastated me, not because I was on the evening news and people saw this teacher going off on her students, but because the illness that I didn't want anyone to know I had was now exposed to the world. What they didn't see was the teacher that was holding food in her file cabinets for children that were hungry. What they didn't see was the teacher that was in school 7 Sunday through Sunday to make sure that her classroom was prepared for her kids. They didn't see that. They saw the illness, and I got hate email. I got people asking if she has this issue, why she's teaching. They didn't see all the sacrifice I put in. They saw the illness. And so what do you think? I go into the hospital again. This time no one wants to be around me. And I find myself alone. And while I find myself alone, I'm getting more and more depressed. And so I go in and out the hospital because I still don't want to accept that I have this issue until around about my 7th stay. A gentleman came up to me and says, you know, no one can fight harder for your life than you. And when I heard that, I decided I can still be strong. I can still be brave. I can still be black. I can still be a woman. I can still be saved. I can still be all that I need to be because I am not bipolar. I have bipolar. See, you become who you say you are. I am strong. I am a black woman who knows her thing. I am educated. I love every child from every nation. See, I am me. I manage what I have, which is bipolar. And because I learned to manage that, then I decided to get myself, after I got myself together, I decided to go back and tell other women, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what religion, no matter what ethnicity, you are strong, sister, regardless of what you have. And so then I decided to start my own nonprofit, Stand for the Diva Effect, because at the end of the day, whatever you see, you're going to see this diva.
Thank you.